Can we give him a praise offering right now? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And amen. Amen. Would you, I know I made you sit down, but would you stand up and raise your Bibles and let's give God glory for his word? And kids are free to go to children's church. If you guys can, Bobby, if you can move that stuff over a little bit, all this. Yes. All right, so Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen. We have been continuing our I Am Free series, and I have to tell you, I am really excited about what we're going to start sharing today. When the Lord put this series on my heart over a month ago with the questions, am I free? And the first thing that I thought about was, are we free to praise the Lord? Do we have the freedom to praise the Lord? Or are we dealing with stuff? And let's kind of understand some things here before we even get into this. Praise is one element of worship. Worship is the overarching thing when we talk about worshiping God. Praise is one element of worship. You know, most of us, if I were to take a survey right now and say, hey, what does praising God means to you? Some of you will say clapping. Some of you will say, just say, praise God, praise God. Somebody will say, oh, it means singing fast songs that have the word praise in it. And there kind of lies the issue. We sometimes make a mistake in our understanding of what praising God is. And today we're going to start learning about this a little bit. Can you put the first picture up, please? Okay, see that? That's an exciting party, isn't it? Full of life, full of joy, right? No, not really, huh? Unfortunately, that's what praise looks like in a lot of churches and among, within the heart, not even the presentation, but in terms of the heart of the people. Most people sing songs and give and praise God because it's the next thing order on the bulletin. It's what we're supposed to do. It's a ritual that we do just to get to the message and then we can go home or get our communion and go home or whatever it might be. And if that's our attitude, we're missing out on something super important, very important. Put the next slide up. We want the praise of our heart to look like that, right? Is that an amen from everybody? Okay, then why do a lot of people freak out when that happens? Seriously. As I shared last week, sometimes the only acceptable way to give God glory is if I'm crying, because, oh man, if you're crying, then you're being touched by God. But if I sing too loud, if I jump up too much, if I do this, it makes us uncomfortable. Well, I can promise you today, some of you might feel uncomfortable when you find out what praise really is. But that's okay, because we're going to break that today. We're going to break that. So, but before we can get into what it is, one thing I've learned recently, before you tell people what, you got to tell them why. So why do we praise? Why do we praise? And I'm going to go through this, and I promise you this is not an exhaustive list. These are just key things. We can literally spend the entirety of 2016, every Sunday, every Bible study, talking about different reasons to praise God, and we still won't be done. Okay? So this is not an exhaustive list, but just an overarching kind of main point kind of list. And keep in mind, in your Bibles, sometimes the word bless that's translated in English, the word bless, is actually a Hebrew word for praise, especially in the Psalms. So sometimes when you might read in your Bible, bless the Lord, it's saying praise the Lord, or praise, give praise to the Lord. So it's an action verb. So keep those things in mind, and we'll show you some examples of this. Why do we praise God? Well, one reason is praise is a good thing. It's a good thing. We get excited. Well, let's look at Psalm 92:1. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. It's good to praise God. It's good to get excited. We'll see in a little bit how it affects us in our relationship spiritually with God. But it's also a good thing because it makes you feel good. The chemical reactions in our minds actually stimulate our bodies to get excited. Think about this. It's the same effect as laughter. Laughter, when you're joking around, if you're just sad, kicks things in our brains, kicks a chemical in our brains that gets us excited, makes us feel better. Well, praise does the same thing. So it is good. Praise is pleasant and beautiful to the Lord. Psalm 147:1. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. This is what God thinks of it. When I praise God, I don't care how bad I think my voice sounds or how off key I might be. God's going, see, God's tone deaf. He's like, you're beautiful. God's tone deaf. He doesn't hear if you're flat or sharp. He only hears the tuning of your heart. Okay? He's like, that's beautiful. That's music to my ears. So praise is pleasant and beautiful. Why we praise? We praise him for his glory, because he's full of glory. Psalm 138:5. Yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. The word sing is a derivative of one of the terms for praise. And we'll see that in a minute. But it is good, because God is full of glory. He is worthy of all our praise. He is deserving of the glory he has. Shame on me if I don't do that, if I don't recognize that, if I don't give him the glory he deserves. We're ready to praise and say great job to each other. But how about saying, Lord, you do the greatest job. Your glory is unbelievable. It's awesome. He is great, Psalm 145:3. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Says it twice. Anytime it says it twice, the Bible means it. Greatly for him, and now he says it a third time. His greatness is unsearchable. Anyone here have unsearchable greatness? I know I don't, but man, in other words, there's not enough reasons to give God praise for all that he is. Not just what he does, but who he is. Okay? It's easy to say, thank you, Lord, when I receive, but how about just thank you, Lord, for you and your presence in my life. He is wise and powerful. Daniel 2:20. Blessed be the name of the Lord of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. We read last week, right? For his ways are not our ways, are greater than our ways, and his knowledge is greater than our knowledge. For he is wise and powerful. Give him praise for that. He is good. Psalm 107:8. Oh, that men would give thanks for the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. God is good. God is good. We give him praise for being good. He is faithful and merciful. Psalm 89:1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. That's an old Maranatha hymn, was based on that. For he is faithful and he is merciful. He's the one who saves, Psalm 18:46. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Let the one that saves me be lifted high. Let me give him credit. Let me give him honor. Let me say thank you. Let me pour my heart out to him. Give him honor. Let him be exalted. His word is true. In other words, God keeps his promises. 1 Kings 8:56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. See, God keeps his promises. He doesn't back down. How many things has the Lord shown you or told you that he would do in your life personally? Guess what? Give him praise now because those things will be fulfilled. I mean, my wife and I struggled this week with some personal things and with things that God has shared with us that we're waiting to come to pass. And you know what? We need to give praise because if he told us they're coming to pass, they're coming to pass. So we wait in anticipation and we give him praise now. We say, thank you now, Lord, for his word is true. He forgives sins, and I clump these all up in one. He heals diseases, redeems our lives, loves us, shows mercy, satisfied, renews our strength. I mean, this is all Psalm 103:1-3. We've shared this verse many times before. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Again, praise the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And here they are. He forgives your sins. That's why I praise him. He heals my diseases. That's why I praise him. He redeems my life from destruction. That's why I praise him. He crowns me with his loving kindness and tender mercies. That's why I praise him. He satisfies my mouth with great things, with good things. That's why I praise him. And that my youth is renewed like an eagle. No matter what my chronological age is, my heart's renewed. And that's why I praise him. Never too old or never too young. Perfect in God's eyes for what he has for us right now, right here today. Psalm 136:25, he provides for us daily. Another reason. Who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. Now I'm not going to read you Psalm 148 because it's the whole chapter. But mark it down. Psalm 148:1-13. We're commanded to praise him. Why do we praise him? Because his word tells us we should praise him. His creation is commanded to praise him. So we need to praise. If there's no other reason, because God said it, I need to do it. If there is no other reason. But you know what? There's an unsearchable amount of reasons in addition to that to give him praise. Psalm 107:8, praise recognizes and gives credit to the one deserving of it. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of Israel. It recognized what God does, what God is doing, what God has said he would do. Praise gives him glory. And most of us should know this. Praise allows us to enter his presence. I cannot enter his presence without praise. I can't enter his presence if I'm angry. I can't enter his presence if I'm full of myself and pride. I can't enter his presence if I'm bitter, if I have a grudge towards God or anyone else. I need to praise him. Praise him. I can't enter his presence by just going through the motions. I need to praise him from the inside out. Psalm 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. See, you want to talk about feeling good? You want to talk about changing your attitude? You start praising God, life is not going to look the way it looked before you praise God. Nothing might have changed, but your heart condition, your spiritual eyes, the vision that you see with that God will give you will change your perspective on everything. All of a sudden, things don't look the same. Things aren't as heavy on my back as they used to. They're lighter. And we got testimony of that earlier today. Things being stripped off as we praised God. And finally, and again, this is not an exhaustive list, but the last one on this list is He inhabits our praises. He comes alive in our praises. Psalm 22:3, yet you are holy, you who are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. Some verses say He inhabits them, some Bible translations. But I love the ones that actually translated, He is enthroned. In other words, He's the guest of honor. He's the one that's crowned. He's the crown jewel. He is the focus, the source, the everything of our praise. He's there. He comes alive in our praises. He's alive. You know, I thought about this morning as I was preparing and praying towards this. Bible tells us one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight, right? Well, let's look at it from the perspective of praise. One person, their countenance can lift it and all the attacks and everything just by praising God can be dealt with. But how much more when you have a 20, 30, 40, 100, 500, 1,000 people praising God? How much power is in that praise? How much of the glory of God can just manifest within our praise and come alive? What it can do, you know, sometimes in a small church, when you have two people really struggling or a few people struggling, the weight of their struggle becomes a real challenge to those who are trying to overcome what the enemy's throwing within worship and praise. The more praise warriors we have, the more we overcome, because He is enthroned on our praises. That's why we praise. And I know for guys, there's a little macho pride thing sometimes with us guys about, oh, that's a girl thing. You know, I mean, even in high school, I didn't even want to be part of the choir or sing because girls sang in the choir. Stupid me, I should have been there, you know, because the girls were there, but that's another story. but praise gives God what He wants to pour into us, allows Him to pour it into us. And the mighty weapon it is, because praise is a weapon. Amen. So, now let's talk about what the weapons of our praise are. Because that's what they are. They're weapons against the enemy. See, problem with the English language, we have two broad terms, okay? In Greek, there's like 5, 6 different definitions for the word that we use as love, because it's very specific. There's brotherly love, there's intimate or erotic kind of love, there is friendly love, and so forth. Middle Eastern culture is the same way. I have a specific term for an uncle on my mother's side versus an uncle on my father's side. It's very specific. In the Bible, there are 7 different terms for the word praise or bless in some translation. 7 different terms, and I'm going to share these with you. The first one is halal, and it's where we get the word hallelujah from. Word halal, and this is what it means: to be clear, to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. Think about that. To make a show. In other words, I'm pushing you out to the front. You ever been in those situations where somebody's trying to pull you in front of everybody and you're kind of trying to shy back? You're the star. I praise you because you're the star. I want to get you out there and I want to get excited about you. You're the guest of honor. You know, at our wedding, some of you saw our wedding reception video. You know, they put my wife and I on chairs, and they were carrying us on chairs and all around dancing and singing. Well, halal, hallelujah, celebrate. Let's put Jesus up on the chair and celebrate him and get excited about him. Be clamorously foolish. Don't worry what you look like, because everyone looks the same. It's put the spotlight on them. Just a couple of quick verses where halal is actually the word praise. Psalm 113:1. Halal the Lord. Halal, O servants of the Lord. Halal the name of the Lord. Psalm 150:1. Halal the Lord. Halal God in his sanctuary. Halal him in his mighty expanse. In the sanctuary. In other words, get clamorously foolish in the sanctuary. Celebrate in the sanctuary. Don't turn it into a dirge. Praise God. Get excited about God. Psalm 149:3. Let them halal his name in dance. Let them halal with the timbrel and the harp. Let them do these things. Celebrate. Have fun in the presence of Jesus. Yada or yada is another one for praise. It means to extended hand, to throw out the hand, therefore to worship with an extended hand. Yes, Lord, we praise you. We give you glory. See, here's the thing. The opposite of this is to bemoan or the wringing of hands. In other words, the opposite of this is this. Is this. It's this. It's this. What does this signify? This signifies closeness, insecurity. This signifies you're tight. You're not releasing. You're not free. This signifies that I just can't let go. Throw your hands up in the air and let go. Yada. Just let it go to God. Like a child jumping in their parents' arm. You let it go to God. That's why one of the reasons why we raise our hands. Chronicles 2:20-21. Yada to the Lord. Give yada to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Psalm 63:4. So I bless you as long as I live. I will yada my hands in your name. Psalm 107:15. Oh, that men would yada the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of Israel. Just let it go. And are there some other references? Did I put any other references on the PowerPoint or no? Okay, I may not have, but that's fine. But these are just examples of yada. A third form of praise, word for praise, is the praise tauda. Tauda is to give worship by the extension of the hand in adoration or agreeing with what has been done or will be. It's raising hands, but it's a different type of raising hands. One is like childlike jumping into the Father's arms, just celebrating. This one has a different meaning when we raise our hands. It's a connection with sacrifice, applying the giving of thanks or praise as a sacrifice for reception. I'm just going to read you one of the things that I found. It's thanking God for something that I don't have in the natural. Agreeing with his word is another way to put it. It's agreeing with his word. It's faith in his word. This form of praise goes in operation just because his word is true. It's like saying, Father, I thank you that your word is true. As we raise our hearts and hands to the Lord, it involves a sacrifice, especially if one is very sick in the body. See, lifting up of hands is a form of covenant or agreement. Think about that, what a covenant is. Covenant is a bond between two people, a sealed bond between people. The lifting of the hand symbolizes agreement. The right hand symbolizes my covenant with my Father. As I go, when he extends his right hand to me, he's saying, all that I am is yours. So when we read in Scripture, reach out your right hand to me. It's that covenant. So he said, when he reaches out, all that I am is yours. And when I extend my right hand to him, I'm saying, all that I am is yours. So I'm agreeing with you. Psalm 50:14 says, offer God tauda and pay your vows to the Most High. Offer God your covenant. Offer God your agreement and praise. Agree with him. Psalm 50:23, whoever offers tauda glorifies me. Whoever agrees with him, comes into covenant with God, glorifies him. And to him who orders his conduct all right, I will show the salvation of God. So when think about it, in court, you raise your right hand, right? And you swear to, at least you're supposed to, swear to God, right? You're agreeing with the truth of God. Even before you speak the truth, that the truth, because the truth is the truth, whether we want to try to lie through it or not, the truth is still the truth. That never changes. That you're agreeing that the truth will remain the truth. The spirit of truth will remain the truth. So when worship and praise, when I lift my hands up, some of us are jumping into our father's arms, into our daddy's arms. Others are, Lord, I'm agreeing with you. This hasn't happened yet. I'm struggling with something. I'm not sure about something, but you know what? I'm agreeing with what your word says. I'm agreeing with what you told me. So I am making covenant with you. I'm trusting you, and I'm holding on to you because I know you're extending your right hand to me. It's a powerful commitment in praise here. It's a little different than the other ones, but there's a powerful thing to it. Fourth kind of praise is shabak. To address in a loud tone, a loud adoration, a shout. Proclaim with a loud voice, unashamed, the glory, the triumph, the power, the mercy, the love of God. This is a form of testimony. This word implies a testimony is praise. You know, it says, shout unto the Lord, can be understood in the action of shabak. Shout unto the Lord with a voice of triumph. It's a victory shout. It's not being afraid to go, praise God. But yeah, Lord, hallelujah, Lord. Give you the glory, God. I praise you, Lord. I declare your name. I mean, we've heard people screaming the name of Jesus, and I love to scream the name of Jesus in those times as well. Or sing his name boldly and loudly, get loud, even obnoxious at times. Because you know what? It's my declaration. It's my shabak to him. It's his glory. But it's not just being loud. You should have the attitude. This is what's important about shabak. It's not just about being over the top, loud, just to hear your own voice heard. It's having the attitude of putting your whole being into it, an attitude of totally being uninhibited. In other words, God, I am giving you my all. I'm putting my whole self in my praise. I'm not holding anything back in praise. I'm letting it go to you. I'm just pouring it in. I'm being bold. I'm not worried about what other people think around me. I'm just pouring my praise to you. I'm going to declare your victory in my life. It's a shout. Psalm 47:1, clap your hands, all you people. Shabak to the Lord with a voice of joy or triumph in some verses. Psalm 145:4, one generation shall shabak your works to another and declare your mighty acts. Transfers, it teaches. Isaiah 12:6, cry aloud and shabak for joy. Shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Shabbat. That's a powerful thing. It's a victory declaration. Fifth one, Barak. Barak means simply to bow down, to kneel down, to bless God as an act of adoration. As you would when you go before a king, you bow down and they say, get up. We humble ourselves before the Lord. Barak, when we praise, when we Barak the Lord, we come before the Lord in a humble manner. Psalm 95:6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us Barak before the Lord our Maker, or kneel. 1 Chronicles 29:20, then David said to all the assembly, now Barak the Lord your God, and all the assembly Barak the Lord, for the God of their fathers, who bowed low and did homage to the Lord and to the king. Psalm 34:1, I will Barak the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bow down before him, keep myself humbled before him. These last two should be more familiar to most of us. Zamar. Zamar simply means to pluck the string of an instrument, to sing praise. It's music accompanied by the voice. It's praising with an instrument. The focus is the instrumentation. It's musical praise, but there are voices. It's accompanied by the voices. It carries the idea of making music in praise to God. Now, I heard one time a person say, I'm going to let my guitar worship him. Guitar can't really worship him, but I can make worship. I can make praise through my guitar. And that's what we're talking about. Just letting my heart for God come through my music. You know, you hear a lot about how music is emotional. Well, sometimes when you're just playing, I know for me, when I'm just playing, it's just, that's my heart coming through my notes or my chords or the keyboard or whatever it might be. I always tell the worship team, just play, feel it. Just let it go and feel it. Let the Spirit kind of lead you. Let your emotions go as you're loving the Lord with what you're creating, what you're letting out. So that's Zamar. Psalm 21:13. Be exalted, O God, in thy own strength, so we will sing and Zamar thy power. In other words, declare your power with musical instruments. 1 Chronicles 16:9. Sing to him. Sing Zamar to him. With musical instruments, with music to him. Speak of all his wonders. Psalm 57:8-9. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the peoples. I will zamar to thee among the nations. I will play to the nations and sing. I will make it known to you through my music. And the last form of praise is tehillah. Tehillah is also derived from the word halal, just like hallelujah was derived from the word halal. It's also derived from the word halal, and it means singing of halals, or to sing out loud. But the element of this, it does involve music, but it's more of a hymn sing. It's more of a communal praise. The others involved communal too, but it was more of the individual's heart. A halal is when the community of God, the body of God, come and sing hymns. And if you remember, hymns in the Old Testament were songs that told of what God did. They were meant to teach. They were meant to give glory to God. They were bringing to remembrance the things of God. So they would sing these hymns as a nation, as a group, in their feasts, in their celebrations, to remember what God has done. So when we sing together, about the saving grace of God, the loving grace of God. We're remembering what God did to us. When we're singing about the different things of who God is, we're bringing to remembrance together. We're coming together as one. It's a congregational type of worship. Psalm 22:3 says this, "But you are holy, enthroned in the Tehillah of Israel." You are enthroned, you know. Psalm 33:1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for Tehillah from the upright is beautiful." Communal worship to God is beautiful. Isaiah 61:3, "To grant to those who mourn in Zion, given them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of Tehillah." In other words, there's a unity here. You're all coming together in this mantle that God is giving us. As we come together, He's enthroned in this mantle. The mantle of Tehillah instead of a spirit of fainting. Think about that. Instead of feeling weak and feeling like we have no strength left, He's given us the mantle of coming together and to strengthen our numbers when we worship together and give praise to God together. So they called the oaks, they shall be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. See, this is one of the problems when people say, "Well, I don't need to go to church, I can watch it on TV." And this is also one of the problems when we miss coming together as a body. We miss out on what God wants to do with all of us together. We're missing that communal fellowship, the family of God, because we are a family of God. And we miss out on that. Now, I want to share this with you as we close here. As I prepared this morning, kind of heard the Holy Spirit say some things to me about what thoughts are going to be taking place. I heard things like, "I can't do that. I will never do that. Or I will not, don't want to be around people who do that." And I'm talking about this kind of praise specifically. Or I only like this. I don't want to do that. And you know what? How the Holy Spirit leads you is how the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. Our job is also to be open and to let go. See, we're never free. This is why the series is called "Am I Free?" And it's a question mark. I am never going to be free in the area of praise till I am free to be able to praise in all seven ways. This is God's word. Some of us here might be free in two or three or four parts of the seven. Some less, some more. But are we really free? Because this is what we're talking about, freedom from all bondage. And we're going to, next week, we're going to be really focusing on what hinders our praise. Be part two next week with that. But we want to be free of the bondage so that we can be free to give God our very, very best and our all in all. See, God, remember, when He reached out His right hand, He's saying, "I'm giving you all of me." So I want to be able to, with a clear conscience, clear heart, pure heart, loving heart to my daddy in heaven, reach out my right hand and say, "I'm giving you all of me. I come into covenant with that." So one of the things we're going to do next week, we're going to flip around things. What we're going to do is, I want to encourage you to try to be here on time, because next week we're going to share the message part first about what hinders praise. Then we're going to come against those specific things, should there be anything left, so we can break those bondage. And then we're going to get into a time of worship. So we're going to do things backwards next week, but that still leaves us with today. So some of those thoughts are going on right now. Kind of heard them this morning in my head as I was praying that people were going to be struggling with those thoughts. And you might have even said, oh, nobody's going to know the difference. Holy Spirit wants to set you free. He wants all of us to be free. He wants me to be 100% free. Okay? And I'll be the first to tell you, it's only been about a year where I'm starting to move in that freedom. Even though I've been here as your pastor since 2001. So we're all on this journey of being free. So I want you to stand with me right now. All right, I want you to just close your eyes, and I want you to get to that place with the Lord. We're doing something slightly different today. You know the thoughts that you've been dealing with just now, as I was sharing. With everyone I shared, I could hear, I'm not going to do that. I won't do that. That's not from God. That's not from God, because God wants to set you free. If you don't believe me, just Google what I shared with you and you will find out if you don't believe what I shared today. It's not hard to find this research. This is the Word of God. So in your time with the Lord, right now, I want to release a spirit of freedom and a spirit of praise. And I want you to take every one of those thoughts that you might have had. And I want you to confess it to the Lord. If you want to pair up with somebody and confess it to that person and pray with them, but we want to come against those thoughts. And if you heard, I will not, I want you to be able to declare to the Lord, I will. I will. I want you to be free. So Lord, I release right now a spirit of freedom, because in a moment, after we take a few moments just getting to the before the Lord in such a way, we're just going to release an opportunity for people to just praise. However, whether it's raising hands, handing a tauda, an agreement, whether it's a halal, whatever it might be, I just want to release you in praise today. We want to set the captives free to praise. So Holy Spirit, come right now. Come right now. Come right now, Holy Spirit. Just going to give you some few moments together to gather those things and get them right before the Lord.
Yeah, our insecurity, that thing inside of us that wants to tie us down, maybe it's for different reasons. Maybe it's because I'm not perfect, or maybe it's just because I think people look at me. Whatever it is, maybe I want to try to hide. Whatever that insecurity is, this will break that off of you. So go for it.
So just take a couple of minutes right now and just get before God, getting this right. You know, and if you think the purpose of this is to make you more Pentecostal or whatever word you want to use, that's not the purpose of this. Purpose of this is I want you to be as free to celebrate Jesus as some of us guys are at a football game, or some of us women are at a party with a bunch of other women laughing and joking around. I want us to have that freedom. That's the purpose of this. It has nothing to do with being Pentecostal, being charismatic, or any of those words. This is biblical praise. This is what the children of Israel did. This is what the disciples did. This is freedom to praise God.